this morning I'm ready to just travel around the world, and that's exactly what we're going to do today with my guest. My guest is Mary Allen. She's the Director of International Education and Study Abroad. And, you know, I said I'm not going to go right into it, but this is something that gets me really, really, really excited. If you read the caption that I placed on Facebook, it says, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page." And having been born in Ecuador, I cannot agree more with that saying. You know, it gives you a different perspective. And I guess I am, I don't know, blessed maybe in that sense that I had the opportunity to grow something else and I traveled to the United States. I have not had the opportunity to travel to too many places around the world, and I'm looking forward to once COVID goes away or we figure out how to manage it if it doesn't go away, so that I can go and travel, because it's one of my life goals. It's definitely one of my life goals. It's definitely something that I want to do more and more of. I had the opportunity to go to Mexico, to a couple different parts in Mexico, Mexico City, Cancun. And I have to say, though, there's a difference when you go to a country and you go to the touristic side of things and you go to rest, you know, and you go to a resort and you're just staying there and you're just having a good time and relaxing. And that's totally valid. And absolutely, yes, we all need to do that. But there's something different. There's something, I don't know, that ignites something in you when you travel somewhere else and you get lost in the culture of that country and you get to interact with the people and you eat their food and the way that they would eat it in the small little restaurant that, you know, the families in that neighborhood know about, the places that tourists normally wouldn't go to. And I, you know, that's how I see study abroad. I see study abroad as this opportunity to go and really explore a country with a deeper eye, with just like a different type of mentality. It's not just going and appreciating the beauty, which, as like I said, is absolutely a valid way of doing it. And it's a great opportunity on its own. But to go and study abroad and to really go and analyze some things, something that happens to me here in Washington, D.C. many, many times is I go there. And when I think about the history in Washington, D.C., I'm like, wow, I'm standing here. And maybe at some point, Washington was standing here, you know, like George Washington himself. So it's... it just brings you a different perspective, and it brings, at least to me, more respect to the place where you are at. So, Mary, I'm very, very happy to be with you today. It's a long introduction to say welcome. Okay. And you know, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and to really help us, I guess, you know, while we are at home, still kind of like connect with the world and travel with the world from our living rooms and our homes and wherever we are. So thank you and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And it's really nice to see your face. And I miss everybody at HCC very much. And I think, it is a very strange time indeed for international education. It was a tough year. And I think it's going to continue to be tough for a while, but what I know about international educators and people who work in higher education is that we're very resilient and we're very innovative when we need to be. And so I think that even though we can't travel right now, there are many ways to kind of connect with people, each other around the world. You can't physically study abroad, but you know, we do have this, the wondrous world of the internet, and there's many things that you can do via the internet to kind of connect interculturally. And I don't know if that's what you want me to talk about or where you want me to start, but I'll let you ask the questions, I guess. Yeah.
We're definitely going to go there because, okay. That's one of the things that I have appreciated the most about, this quarantine and this staying at home. Going to opera was one of my biggest dreams. And, you know, at the beginning of this whole pandemic, the opera became available for everybody to watch and stream. And oh my gosh, I mean, that was just, I really, really felt it. And I'm sure that going to an opera is, it's an even higher type of, experience. But this has opened up doors that before were closed. You know, this being home has, as you said, has forced us to be flexible and to get creative and to still try to figure out ways to connect. And I've really appreciated that about this entire process. So we will go there and we will talk about opportunities and things to do at home and, you know, ways to connect with other people around the world and travel. But I wanted to hear first a little bit about you. I wanted to find out about where your interest in the world comes from and, you know, how you got to be where you are today at HEC, the Director of International Education Study Abroad. Has this always been a passion of yours, or is this something that you discovered, you know, in your process of studying and developing and everything else?
It definitely came from studying. I was a French and an education major when I was an undergraduate. So even though back, I mean, this will date me, but it wasn't really expected that you would study abroad, even as somebody who was going to be a foreign language teacher. I was in my program at a state school in New York with people who did not study abroad. And for me, it was unimaginable to think about stepping foot in the classroom without really having experienced another culture. And I'm definitely the demographic that used to study abroad, and that still is the highest demographic of studying abroad. I'm a white female. But I didn't come from a family that was well traveled per se. I do come from, you know, on my mom's side, family of immigrants. Myself, my grandparents were from Italy, and you know, just kind of typical, you were supposed to go to college and get a job and stay in New York State for the rest of your life and not really traipse all over the world. But I did study abroad for a year, and it was really wonderful. And I think, you know, I taught French for a while too, but I never really thought that this type of job existed or was available, because a lot of study abroad offices, they weren't study abroad offices, there weren't international ed offices back then. So it's been a field that's really developed over the past 20 or 30 years. So when it came time for me to think about doing master's level work, I really wanted to go into higher education with a focus on international education, because I thought if I could facilitate these types of experiences for students and help them, all types of students, not just the demographic that typically goes abroad, but all students go abroad, then I thought that would be a really cool career. And it has been. It really has been. Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit more about your personal experience. I think it's fascinating. You said that, you know, you said that you fit the demographic, but yet you came from a family that didn't really travel abroad much.
Right. On the surface, yeah, but I was first gen college myself. So it was, you know, I think college was a lot of navigating and figuring things out for me. My parents didn't really know how to help us in the way that I think I see parents who have been to college helping their kids. So yeah, they did their best, but we all three made it through college. So we did that. But yeah, I think I had to work before I went abroad. I had to save a lot of money. I had a scholarship that I was on that really paid for my tuition and everything when I was in college for the whole 4 years I was there through the government. All of that helped. And I think I didn't travel. I think I saw a lot of students on my program kind of leave every weekend and go traipsing all over, you know, kind of Europe. I didn't really have the funds to do as much traveling as other people, but what I did learn was how to be in the place where I lived and how to really kind of integrate a little bit more with the families I was living with and kind of in my community, which was nice. So I think it really helped to stay put and understand what it was like to live in the town that I lived in. So
it sounds like there was a passion though inside of you, because especially being a first gen, you know, child and not having somebody tell you. My experience as a student here, you know, I came from Ecuador. I didn't even know that study abroad was an option for you know, when you're in Ecuador. Yes, it's usually you want to go study in the U.S. or very, you know, very specific countries, but there's no such a thing as, at least not that I can remember, let's go for three weeks or 6 weeks or whatever and have a class in a different country. It's just not a thing. So I didn't know about it. And when I first heard about that option, I thought that is so cool, but it's completely expensive. It's something that I won't be able to afford. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about those challenges and how they can be overcome, because it's a passion of mine. As I said at the beginning, I want to travel the world. I want to go see everything. I understand the value that comes with it. And I really, really want to expand my view of the world and my family's view of the world. But traveling is expensive, right? And as a student who's just trying to make it through and get their careers, study abroad might be one of those options where you just push to the back burner and you're like, once I get my career going, then I'll travel on my own.
Right.
Why should we not do that? Why should we maybe look at, you know, going study abroad, taking one of those classes, those opportunities, and how can we make that happen?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's a unique opportunity for undergraduates. We don't send just undergraduates, we're a community college. So we send working adults and moms and dads and all kinds of people abroad, which I absolutely love. But it is, you kind of have to look at it as, when else am I going to do this, right? When else am I going to do this? Because it is hard. And our non-traditional students know how hard it is to try to make it abroad, even just to travel, how to raise the funds. But the first stop for any student should always be the International Education Office, right? That in conjunction, in collaboration with academic advisors, the folks that are helping them plan their trek towards graduation, because they know also what's available and how some of these, particularly for us, because we're a small outfit at Howard compared to like a huge research institution that may send hundreds of students abroad and have all kinds of programs. We run faculty-led study abroad programs that are courses for credit, and they can be embedded in a student's program, long as they plan, right? The planning is the key. It's hard if you think about it as an afterthought, right? Because you'd be like, oh, well, I already took that course, because we have about 5 or 6 programs right now. Each of them is a different course. And we want students, you can do it not for credit, but I think that the true benefit comes from taking the course, because like you said, traveling and being a tourist is very different than being somebody who is doing something for academic credit. Because when you have a course, a history course, a physics course, you have a physics course, a pastry course, whatever it is, you're going to see wherever you are and whatever the content and context is for the course through that lens in that country. So it is unique, right? You might not get any of that information. You might just really scratch the surface if you were going on your own, unless you were really geeked on doing a lot of research and whatever before you go abroad. So I do think it's unique. And for our students, I think that these faculty-led study abroad programs are the way to go, right? Because you're with a group of people, it's a class, so it's work, it's not a trip. I think I'm really trying to get everybody at HCC to get away from calling it a trip, because that denotes that it's just a vacation or something, right? It's a program, it's an academic program. And there's homework, and you have to be present, and you have to be engaged, and you have to participate, and you're with a group of people kind of day in and day out. So there's the group dynamics too. So there's bonding and kind of that concept of shared experience too. And our faculty are really adept at kind of leading our students through these experiences. So it's the academic content, but also kind of just all the moments, those aha moments that students might have along the way, at kind of capitalizing on them and fostering learning from them and engagement from them. So we do offer scholarships too. So this, money is the biggest detriment really for studying abroad. And I think any international ed office, we're very lucky at HCC because we have extraordinary support from our senior leadership. And we have scholarships that we can offer students, and they're pretty substantial, that, you know, so that's good. But that students need to know that money's available for them if they qualify. And there's so much other money available out there. And it might not work for maybe our programs, but for students who want to go abroad again after they do one of our programs, or when they get to their next school, there are national scholarships, there are country-specific scholarships, there are scholarships that are tied to things like national security, like themed scholarships. There's a lot of money out there. And I have one other staff in my office. Her name is Rachel McLeod. She's our new program coordinator. And she is very adept at helping students find those resources, go through the applications so they can do other study abroad experiences too. And some of those study abroad experiences are even longer than the ones we have. Could be a whole summer, could be a semester in the future, but there is money, particularly for non-traditional students, for our underrepresented groups, for people who study foreign languages. There's a lot out there and we can point you in the right direction.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I know that that was definitely, when I was a student, that was definitely one of the things that I kept looking at. And then I looked at the price and I was like, yeah, there's just no way. And I have to admit, and I will be very transparent, I did not do my homework. Like, I just thought, you know, well, I don't have the money, so I can't go. Yeah. So it is important to know, because many times we give ourselves the answers. We don't even ask the questions, right? But like exactly. In my case, I just looked at the price and I was like, I can't afford it. I didn't even think about going in and checking and seeing, hey, is there any help? You know, are there any ways that you can maybe help me make this happen? Because I really want to take this opportunity.
Yeah.
We've been seeing, you know, through this pandemic, and it's obviously something that we knew from before, but, you know, we think of the world and we think like it's such a huge place and we're all in our own little bubbles within the world and our own little spaces. But when I was looking at the information that you guys have on the website, I saw that two words that I think are very important and that I think really help us understand some of the importance of traveling abroad and studying abroad and seeing the world as a smaller place than it physically is, right? And those two words are globalization and interconnectivity. Mm-hmm. And I want you to help us unpack those two words and those two terms and what they really mean and how study abroad helps us with that and why those are so important for somebody who is, you know, looking at their career to become a better professional.
Sure. Those are great questions. Well, globalization is not anything new these days, right? But it definitely, you know, I think the basically it's fostered this increased interdependence and kind of connection we have to each other, right? Across all these borders. But basically, you know, my idea of globalization over these decades has really been, it's this flow, it's a flow across borders of goods, of media, of people, of culture, of knowledge. So all of that kind of going back and forth all the time, right? And, you know, because of that, we've had to, the skill set was different than when maybe we were just isolated each in our own cultures and countries. So, you know, I think for our students, for any student, for all of us as citizens, global citizens now, we really need to think about how we can successfully function, right? How can we successfully function in our jobs, in our lives, you know, in this multicultural, international connected environment, right? So what we, you know, and again, we're lucky we're at a college that has a commitment to helping students gain these global competencies. It's in our strategic plan. It's you know, it's written into it. So that's a really good thing. But when it comes to these skills, like I think people are like, well, what does that mean? How do we do that, right? And maybe somebody like me would take that for granted, right? I have studied this. I've been working across borders. And I think even for me right now, I was like, oh, wow, I don't know if I've ever marketed myself as somebody who can work virtually, but yet I've been doing it for 20 years, right? Because I've been working with partners all across the globe via whatever mechanism was available to us at the time, right? As well as doing site visits or whatever. But so that's outside of the country. But even right now, you and I, you're from Ecuador. We need to be able to work together to work successfully at HCC. I was just on a Zoom about a couple of weeks ago, and I was with somebody from China and Thailand. And how are we communicating? How are we working together? How are we going to try to get these projects off the ground that we have created in our heads? So we want students to be able to do these things, right? In every job, you can't work any job at any level anymore without having to have these skills. And, you know, you need to be able to collaborate. You need to be able to work as part of a multicultural, multinational team. You need to be able to, you know, literate when it comes to technology. You need to be able to problem solve, right? My way isn't the only way to do things. And when I'm working across borders, particularly, like sometimes I even have to check in. We're working with some folks in Ghana right now, and I use, you know, I work with Nana Owusu from the library. And so I can ask him cultural questions. So I know I'm being culturally appropriate. So things like that. We need to be flexible. We need to adapt. We need to have a global awareness. We need to pay attention to the news, not just in our town, in our state, in our country, but elsewhere, right? We need to also have a sense of social responsibility and civic engagement. I think all of these things are, when I look at the curriculum at HCC, we are engaging students on all of these levels. And study abroad, international education, if done well, because you can do it poorly and it won't hit on any of these things, but if done well, we're really working towards incorporating all of these things into our study abroad program so students are getting these experiences and can reflect on their own learning and really articulate what they've learned so then they can apply it to what they're going to do in the future and to job interviews, right? We also want to train them to talk about these skills so they know that it's something that's worth talking about, right? And marketing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's two things that you mentioned, you know. One, you talked about understanding, you know, and being able to be flexible with somebody else who might have different ideas, might have different, come from a different background. Yeah. And I think, you know, the other thing, and you brought it home, and that's where I want to go. You brought it home. It's so easy to just go take a walk, you know, and you see people from all over the world. You see people from right here in Colombia. You see people from many different places. And having that understanding, having that flexibility, I think it's really, really important so that we can, because there's, you know, cultures where shaking your hand to say hello, it's not appropriate, right?
Exactly.
And I, you know, that's the part that I love about this. I think that having the understanding that sometimes you're going to find people who are not going to be comfortable shaking the hand with you and not taking that as personal, but actually start thinking about what you said, you know, oh, maybe they come from a country where that is not appropriate, and just being able to respect that and right. appreciate it and but have first the knowledge to know that not everybody shakes their hands when they say hello, right?
Exactly.
It just allows us for more empathy, really, is what I think, you know, when we take the time to try to understand other cultures and what other people are feeling, it just allows us to have better connections, starting at home and then, you know, growing into the rest of the world.
Exactly, yeah.
So how many different programs are there, Mary, and what countries do students go to?
Well, as you know, this year we had, you know, we had 63 people set to go out on our programs, but because of COVID, they were canceled. But we had, I think it was five programs this year. And that's our portfolio right now. And I can give you the rundown of them. And we do have some programs that are in development for the future. You know, obviously everything's been halted a little bit because of travel, but, you know, I want to assure everybody that certainly in my mind, I'm feeling still very optimistic. International ed isn't going anywhere. And at some point, you know, on-site travel and everything will return. You know, people are always going to want to do these things. Students are always going to want to do these things. So I don't doubt that. So I think, you know, when we're able to send students back out again, we're going to be better and stronger than ever, right? As an institution and people are going to be ready to go, right? They're really going to be ready to go. But we have a program called Explore Science in Bermuda. It usually runs 1 week during the summer, and it's at a research center in Bermuda. And every program is a little different. So what they offer for students is a little different. This class is a physics class. It's Physics 106, Earth and Space Science. And students combine both in the water and on land, and in the lab, I should say, because there's a lab there that they use. So, you know, explorations of the academic topics. And they do everything from take samples to identify wildlife. This year they were going to look at plastic content in the water, so environmental issues. So that's what they do there. We had a new program this year that didn't get to run, but we know it will in the future, and it was called the Ghanaian Experience, Ghanaian Culture and Ethics and Literature, and it was English 207, Ethics and Literature. And it was basically an in-depth look at some critical global issues like environmentalism, slave trade, kind of comparatively speaking, in the two cultures. And that was a spring break program. But that course too, I want to say this was a new model for us. That course was going to run all spring long, and it did run. It still ran. The students just didn't get to go, unfortunately. But during spring break, they would have gone to Ghana as a group. So that study abroad, the actual travel portion, was embedded in a whole semester course, which was really cool. And we hope to see more things like that in the future, where students are really engaging on a deep, deep level, and then they go get to see all of this stuff live, and then they come back and they're still working, still processing, right? We had another new program this year that will run in the future called Passport to Pastry, where pastry and culinary students were going to take PMGT 280 and be in France, in Isingo, France, at the École Nationale Supérieure de Pâtisserie, which is a famous French pastry school. And they were going to be there at the school taking, I think it was 5 or 6 hours of pastry class a day, as well as doing excursions around the area that were related to the course, and also spending some time in Paris. We had a program in, we have a program in Ireland, which is, we were going to run Humanities 101, the Intro to Humanities class out of Ireland this year, as well as HMGT 160, Travel and Tourism. So the groups were going to be there together and do most of their field trips together, except for a few, but they were going to be in different courses, actually. And two of our faculty, Jody Rose and Juliet Ludeker, were going to be there. And this year we didn't have this one running, but it will in the future, and it has in the past. Religion and Art in Italian History, which is a history 121, prehistory to Middle Ages history course, which is takes place primarily in Rome, but also goes to Florence and the Amalfi Coast for a bit, and explores history contextually. And in development, I think I'm allowed to say, we're going to hopefully in the future have a Spanish language and culture course in Ecuador.
And, oh, wow.
In Cuenca. And hopefully an accounting program in Brazil, too, that I know about. So that might take some time given the COVID outbreak, but those are in the works.
So how do you come up with these ideas with the locations? You know, I mean, we heard physics, we heard English, we heard history, you know, and I think that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, it makes perfect sense, history. When you said pastry, I was like, sure. Okay, yes, of course, that makes also sense. But then when you said physics, I was like, how does that come? And, you know, when you said English, I was like, okay, I don't know how that, like, I really thought it was art classes. Like, I really thought right. It was just like a specific yep. type of classes. And here you just opened my mind and said,
yep.
Forget that, Chris, is really all about, you know, everything. We get very, very creative.
So back in the day, when I studied abroad, certainly it was more the arts, the languages, and things like that. So that was definitely what was traditional. Now, if you look at the national stats, right, for what students are going abroad, STEM actually leads the field. So it's changed. It's changed. But yeah, any, you know, all subjects in some way can be done. Can, you know, it really amounts to what do our faculty want to do. We definitely have a strategy that we're thinking about, because we don't want to have just 5 history programs or 5 English programs or 5 physics programs for that matter, right? We want a nice, well-rounded portfolio that represents different departments, different subjects, different regions of the world. So when students think about studying abroad, they have some choices, right, based on what they are. So we have talented faculty that want to do these things, and they have to go through a pretty rigorous proposal process, actually, that runs through my office. And there's a committee of people that help kind of faculty along the way, and I kind of coach them. But a lot of this really is what faculty are interested in and how they see, how they also value the importance of study abroad, and they want to kind of bring their contacts alive through study abroad. But yeah, I mean, I hope we have some more STEM in the future. I certainly hope we see business, allied health. We have room for all for those. And I think the way we'll get the most diverse participants is through having diverse programs too, right? So that's how it's going to happen. So,
and you know, that's exactly where I was going to go with my next question is, do you have to be part of like a specific program right now? Do you have to be enrolled in, I don't know, do you have to be like an art major or like an English major in order to be able to participate? Or if somebody is a general studies, or if somebody is just wants to take an elective and take a study abroad, can they do that?
Yep. And that's where the academic advisors, they help, they can help plan for that. It's good for the, like, again, we want students to take these for credit. It's, you know, for, we want their credits not to be all for naught. We want them to count for their programs, electives, whatever, gen eds. A lot of these are gen eds, or the pastry is a requirement in the program. So, you know, the more that these are useful to students, right? That's what we really want, because that's going to kind of maximize the engagement, their engagement in the content, because otherwise they really could just go travel, right? They could travel on their own without all of this context and homework and whatnot. It sounds like it's not fun, but I can guarantee you that students who do these programs come back with such insights into learning, into how to be a better learner, into different ways of learning, into ways that might work better for them when it comes to learning, into the cultures, into the academic content. And a lot of them will go abroad again. They really will. They'll get a taste for it and they will go abroad again. Yeah.
You also mentioned that, you know, you guys do have working adults coming and joining moms, dads. Do they have to be, you know, like you said, a mom and a dad. So I'm thinking, so the student, their son is enrolled in the class and they just want to come along, or do they not need to have a student enrolled? Is this open to the community and can anybody participate?
They are, but I think, definitely. I mean, anybody, but you have to be, you know, willing to be, even if you're taking it not for credit, part of an academic course, because if you're really, I think, here's what I have to say. If you're really just looking for a tour, that you might want to go on a tour as opposed to a study abroad program. But yeah, they really are open to everybody. This year we only had, our numbers are decreasing for people who are doing it not for credit, which I think is pretty wonderful actually, right? You have to be 18 by the time you study abroad. So we really, there are certainly risk, you know, factors involved in that. So that makes sense. But, we definitely have people of all ages. And I believe that, you know, wholeheartedly, as somebody who's been an adult learner myself, I've gone back to school several times. I'm constantly taking courses. I'm taking a course at HCC this fall. I think one of the greatest assets of a classroom is having people from different generations, because that experience, there's so much more to discuss when not everybody's from the same background and age group, frankly. So yeah, we want everybody going on these and taking them for credit.
Yeah, absolutely. We learn from each other so much. Exactly. And especially when we get opportunities just be completely out of our comfort zone, completely in a different country and, you know, trying to manage and figure things out. I think that's a great experience. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, me too.
So you mentioned that you guys have them in spring and summer. Is there anything like in the winter time as well, like in the fall?
Not at the moment. Yeah, not at the moment. So now spring and summer, it gives us a chance to help the students like go through an advising procedure, go through like there's an application involved and kind of the planning. It's a lot goes into putting these programs together. So we need time to do that. We need time to kind of market and recruit students too. So our deadline typically is November 11th for spring or summer programs.
So it's a good time right now for anybody who's listening and watching to really start thinking about it for next year and start putting that on your agenda and start putting that on your calendar, right. Reaching out to Mary and figuring out what programs are available, or crossing my fingers here and will be available.
Right. Well, I'm going to say this, we are going to have some other opportunities available for 2021, because travel really is going to be probably too risky here. So I don't really foresee physical programs taking place. So we're preparing for that. And, you know, with some of the, not all of them, but some of them, we're working with some of the people we work with abroad to kind of embed guest lectures from abroad, webinars into some of the classes for spring and summer, as well as, you know, we're connecting with our Ghana group was going to visit two universities abroad and have peer-to-peer interaction there. And so even if the program doesn't run, we're going to want to have that peer-to-peer interaction virtually online, like asynchronously. So where the students can work on projects. So we're hoping, we're working on all this right now. So there's, even if the programs don't go, that's okay, because there are going to be some exciting ways to gain global competencies through our office, through the curriculum that didn't exist, you know, before. So all in all, COVID is really presenting us with an opportunity right here to build curricular internationalization in new ways too. So what we'll have in the future is all of this on-site study abroad, destination study abroad, as well as some of these virtual collaborative online partnerships and work students can do. So I think students are gonna have even more opportunities in the future to gain these global skills. And our office is the first stop, exactly what you said. Come talk to me, come talk to Rachel. You can set you know, appointments up with Rachel, our study abroad advisor, virtually in the fall to hear about whatever is happening this year. But yeah, just because we might not be able to travel doesn't mean we can't have you know, really engaging international intercultural experiences. So,
absolutely. So Mary, traditionally, what has one of these trips looked like? You know, when you go abroad, do you have a schedule from day one, that's fully built in, or do you have some free time? Walk us through that.
There's always a little free time, but I think, like, you know, our faculty try to pack in a lot in a short time because they're only abroad for a week or two, maybe three. So, and again, it's a course, so we have to get contact hours, right? So every one of them is a little bit different. Some of the programs, students will meet on campus for 4 or 5 days before the program goes for a couple hours each day for some contact hours and to give, you know, context and do some preparations. Others won't. They'll just meet at the airport and go. The Ghana program, like I said, is now embedded in a full semester course. So that's a different model too. So they're all a little different. But yeah, there is a schedule. There's an itinerary that goes all day. Like the Ghana program was one that I think of, it was really all day and all evening. And there's, because students have meetings, they're working on projects they might have to do in country. They may have research and homework they have to do. Some of that research and homework could be that they have to go out into the city or where they have to go do something. It doesn't mean they're stuck in their room, like reading a book or whatever. So that it takes on many forms, right? But yeah, there's always a little downtime, but it's not like, you know, they're not really going to have, you know, days on end free. That's not what they're paying a program fee too. So, you know, everything is scheduled so they don't have to do that themselves. And it's all related to the course. It's all related to the curriculum. So, yeah.
So it's really just helping you take that time and make the best out of it.
It's a mix. You know, I would say it's a mix of, you can imagine there's always travel time. There are museums, there are community organizations, there could be guest lectures. Some of our programs have university visits. In Bermuda, they're out literally snorkeling because the ocean is their classroom. So they're on the water all day, or they're hiking. Sometimes they're hiking. Sometimes it's natural things that people are seeing. So, you know, it will vary. It will vary. Sometimes there's performances. This year, Ireland was going to see Irish music and dance. So like there could be theater. It really is. It's a wide variety of activities.
Sounds fantastic. I'm ready to sign up right here. You talked about global competency, and you also, I know that HEC offers a global distinction program.
Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about that and you know, how this distinction sets students apart.
Well, this is a great time to join Global Distinction this year too, because basically to fulfill Global Distinction, it's a program that students do. They get an advisor, not an academic advisor, a Global Distinction advisor. It's usually either me or my supervisor, Dr. Matt Van Hoos, who is the Executive Director of Academic Engagement. And students go through a series of courses. We have a long list of globally engaged courses and they can pick based on what their program is, or can craft how they want if there's an interest that they have. And they have to also take two foreign language classes. So it's foreign language and these globally focused courses. 15 total credits. And during their tenure at HCC, they have to do some kind of experiential international / intercultural experience. So they can study abroad for one. They could do an internship at, like we've had students at the Sister Cities in Colombia organization. They could do alternative spring break through service learning, something that will engage them on like a real world level, right? With intercultural and international themes. And that's what they do. So they can get guides. They also have to attend international or intercultural or diversity kind of activities each semester. So we work with them to track all this and to kind of help guide them through. And then they get a distinction as they graduate. And again, depending on what they want to do in the future, but really for anything, they really could use this as a marketing tool. It could help them transfer to if they're going to be in an international or global field. It's a way of kind of crafting whatever their program is and having this kind of extra focus on, hey, I've committed myself to global, global and international skill building because I want to take this forward into my career, into my next school, wherever. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think it's becoming more and more important to, that we realize social justice is big right now. And I know that that's more of a local level, but I think that it really,
it's all related.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, yes, we're concentrating at home and we're concentrating at really understanding there are differences and embracing them and respecting them. And maybe maybe for a lot of people, it's a little more scary. And they don't really understand how that starts at home. So maybe looking at outside, you can do it both ways. You can start in going out.
Yep. I think that helps to have your own context so you can understand what's going on outside. And I think, as somebody, again, who's been doing this for decades, and even when I look at, I have an international degree and I felt like I could have used more domestic context before I took that whole international program too. So, but it really is all related, right? It's all related. Yeah.
Absolutely. Appreciating our differences. Understanding, like you said earlier, like we were talking about earlier, how to better communicate and what's appropriate, exactly. Right? What I see as appropriate might not be, somebody else might not see it the same way. So just understanding that there's even that level of difference is really, really important. So I know you've mentioned about some of the opportunities that are coming up and that you guys are trying to transition into. Let's expand a little bit on that and just kind of get an idea, a little taste for students of other opportunities that you guys are continuing to work on and adapt as we continue to stay home.
Sure. Well, we will have International Education Week, as we always do this year. It will be virtual. So, it will be interesting. And I think it lends itself well to virtual, activities because we'll see who will participate and who, what kind of proposals we'll get this year, given that it will be online. But that is a way. There'll be, days worth of all kinds of, could be lectures, panels, other types of activities, art gallery walks, whatever we, whatever faculty, whoever puts forth proposals. And then I think, right now, everybody in my field, right, in international education is really thinking about, because all study abroad is canceled right now, really through the fall, if not beyond, and how we can help students gain these global skills. And really, these virtual type activities have existed, right? But maybe, we've all been focusing because we want to get students like on the ground in these countries, but it's given people an opportunity to kind of highlight what we can do virtually. And basically, certainly anybody can kind of think about internationalizing curriculum through virtual components by just, looking for tours and things online and using YouTube as a resource. So all of that certainly exists already, but I think we're thinking a little bit more strategically in getting our students kind of more involved with working with other groups of students on projects, school to school, country to country. So we're hoping to have some of that starting this fall with Ghana particularly, and then launch more in the future with other countries. We're kind of working on partnerships and projects right now in various classes. So that is something that we'll talk more about when we have the details in the fall And certainly next spring too. So students can get excited and our community can get excited and we can steer students towards this. And I think, you know, there's also something kind of called virtual study abroad. It's hard for, you know, this old school person to think about, well, calling something that isn't on-site study abroad, actual study abroad, but hey, you know, there are ways of enhancing courses with virtual tours. And we are working on some of that too, to think about how we can integrate some of these things if we don't have on-site study abroad. So there are opportunities for students. And quite frankly, these types of online virtual activities will reach more students than physical on-site study abroad would have too. So all in all, I think it's going to be very positive for HCC and really kind of amazing to see how we develop and we kind of roll into some of these kind of online experiences. I think it's going to be really interesting.
I agree with you. I think that this has created opportunities. And, you know, we were talking about affordability being one of the barriers to study abroad or to think about taking one of these classes, whereas if now we're going to do it online and you don't have to have that travel, but you can still get that experience of interacting, just the fact of interacting with somebody who is from another country, the fact that you have to take into consideration what time it is over there before you make a phone call, for instance.
If you were a student, I mean, I would have loved this when I was an undergraduate. Of course, the internet really didn't even exist then, but thinking about getting paired or being in a small group with somebody from Ghana or Ecuador, whatever country, and then whatever the context of the class is, there's a project, for a few weeks within that course that you're leading up to. So you have to learn some intercultural skills. You have to be prepared to go into the project and then to kind of work through some of those intercultural issues that come up from different work styles. The kind of learning that like how people are instructed is very different from culture to culture. So, pedagogy and whatnot. So the faculty would have to do this as well, because they'd be working in teams and the students will have to do it on their project. So I just think it's fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to all these things. So I think it's going to be an exciting time for us.
Absolutely. So you mentioned, at the beginning, we said, there's a lot of opportunities for people to continue to travel and explore. And we said we would go back to that. I think it's a good time to give people ideas on how they can continue to explore the world while we continue to be at home.
Yeah. Well, I think it's weird because I feel like right now for myself too, I live in the suburbs, kind of somewhere between Baltimore and DC. And I was just saying the other day, my world seems so small, but then I just told you, I've been talking to people from Thailand and Ghana and like whatever. So it really isn't. So I think, especially because we are, we're kind of a country in crisis right now with what's happening, that let's not forget about everybody else. Let's keep reading the news. Let's keep reminding ourselves that the whole world is in this pandemic together. So let's not just get tunnel vision as to what's happening in the United States. Let's keep reading the news, right? And I think when it comes to thinking about traveling or how you can learn about other cultures or whatever, I mean, certainly there's a lot available to us online right now, right? Films, podcasts, books, I certainly have been reading more than I ever have lately. And you're right. Like when you said that you saw an opera, many theaters, many museums, many arts organizations are doing, everything from courses and demos and tours. I just did a tour of a quilt show that was out in, at the Berkeley Museum of Art, all this stuff it's free right now. A lot of it is free right now. Some of it isn't, but there's a lot of free content. And so all of that, I think too, that when you do think about traveling, like you were said, we might not get the sights and the sounds, but trust me, there's people videotaping the streets and sights and sounds all over the world right now. Look at some of those videos to think about what it might feel like to walk down the streets in Paris or Cuenca or wherever right now, right? And I would say, if you're craving, tasting something, well, you still can get takeout food, that's for sure. But maybe be, as a food person myself, maybe grab some international recipes from your favorite culture. If you're one of the students that was gonna study abroad this year and didn't get to go, find a recipe and make it, and you can do that. And then, or do, like, I'm finding ways to connect through my communities beyond HCC to my other communities via Zoom and via whatever, and sharing things. I sew and I quilt myself, and I've been doing like stitching sessions with my friends on the West Coast and things like that. So just finding you can do all of that, right? You can do all of that still to learn about other cultures and still see art and listen to music and not, you know, not just live in the tunnel of your room, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great time to take this opportunity to find, as you were saying, creative ways to connect. We can physically go there. And I know that that's nothing compares to that. I mean, you know, we would be remiss to try to say that you're going to get all of it, but you're going to get other things. You're going to get other things that you would have not otherwise. Maybe you pay a little more attention to the person now instead of looking around and looking at the side distractions, right? Yeah. So there's still a lot of opportunity in this environment that we're in. Opera, like I said, it was one of my dreams. And when I saw that it was available, I jumped on it.
Oh, wonderful.
Things that I never thought about, right? That could become open and available. I've looked at the paintings on the Louvre, you know, they had tour and things like that.
Yep.
So take this time, and Egypt also had like they had filming of the tombs and the pyramids and places that unless you were able to go before, you would have not had access to, have given us all of us access right now. So take advantage of that. If there's something that you're interested in, just Google.
Go for it. Don't hesitate. I mean, again, I think for me even too, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to get off the computer, but there, you know, you can curate something really interesting to see and hear for whatever culture you want to visit. That's for sure.
Yeah. You can click out of Facebook and go into travel to the pyramids.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're running out of time. I wanted to talk about the experiences of the students and what you have heard from them when coming back. And I'd like to tie that also to what you personally see and what you get in your experience and you know, the thing that makes you continue to do this work day in and day out. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I have, you know, again, I've been doing this a long time. So I know from sending students on longer term experiences as well as short term, it's always a bit of, you know, it's those aha moments. It's those I never knew kind of moments. I never knew. And then also I would say you see often students mature. They gain confidence if they've never really been out of their hometowns or their home states or had to be responsible for their own travel and their own selves and their own health and their own, all of it. So there is this maturing kind of, process and the confidence is something that I love to see when people come back and they're kind of changed. Also, I think, you know, I've seen students become better learners because something really clicked with them, right? Or the way something they learned sparked an interest in something else and it ended up being their career or a research, you know, topic for their capstone for honors or something like that. So the academic content is really, really, really important, right? And that kind of exposure to the content within that intercultural context is just invaluable. It can lead students down roads they didn't know that existed, right? So all of those things, I think just a broader awareness of that there's more than Columbia or HCC, there's more than Maryland State, there's more than the United States. There's this whole world out there and people are doing different things every day in it. And so just that awareness, a broader awareness is good. For me personally, it's all of those things. You know, it can be a tough field to be in. This was a tough year for my field, you know, for the international student side and the study abroad folks. But I still, it's interesting. I feel really reinvigorated despite the fact that we're sitting at home right now. When I think about some of these kind of technological virtual kind of experiences our students can have, when I think about the kind of curriculum development that's going to happen because we have to be innovative because of COVID, I think that's good. There's always something going on. I mean, I'd rather never deal with another emergency or crisis ever again, you know, ever again. That's the really hard stuff. But I love it. I love talking to the students. I love hearing about their experiences. I've also been privileged to go on a lot of site visits and to see my students in action on short-term programs and semester programs. And it's just been invaluable to me. All that administrative work we do, all the kind of stuff that goes into it, it's really been worth it. And it's enabled me as just a person. I have been all over the world because of my job, and I have seen a lot of schools and met a lot of wonderful people. And I feel like anytime I talk to people from other cultures, I get, you know, I am very passionate about it. I get really excited. And I'm really proud to be doing this on behalf of HCC, really proud to be bringing all of this and being a part of it at HCC. It's a special place and a special time for us. So,
what a beautiful thing to be able to say, I have traveled around the world. I, you know, definitely want to do that. I definitely want that for myself, and I want that for everybody, because I know firsthand what traveling does. I know firsthand how it opens your eyes.
Really does.
The way that you're living, the way that things work here, the way the streets, the houses are here, does not represent the way the world is. And so when you get to travel, when you get to go to even just one place, it really, really just does open your eyes, and it really teaches you big lessons that stay with you forever.
Yep.
How can students get in touch with you, Mary? How can people get more information?
The best way would be to email us at our general international education email, which is intled@howardcc.edu. And Rachel or myself will answer. And again, we're available. Rachel's available to talk to anybody that wants to talk about everything from international experiences to funding them to global distinction. We're here for you. So,
is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap our conversation up this morning?
Nope. It's a pleasure to talk to you, though, and it's really nice. Just again, nice to see your face. So.
Yes, very nice to see you. I love our conversations. This is not the first time that we've been together, and it's once right now, at least through the pandemic, it was reassuring to hear you say, you know, we are continuing to work, we're continuing to connect.
Absolutely.
It's an opportunity, because I think, and as you said, not that we want this to ever happen again, and we absolutely want to get through this as quickly as possible. But it has expanded us. It has given us opportunity. It has taught us many, many, many lessons that we can take with us and apply.
Absolutely.
Once everything reopens and once we are, you know, back to, I guess, a new normal. Because even if we go back to the way things used to
It'll
work,
be different. Yeah.
We will be transformed. We will be better. We will be stronger. And, I think that's the message that I want to close with today. Just know that we will get through this, and we will continue to work through whatever challenges come and adapt and be flexible and grow as a person and as a world. So Mary, thank you so much
for
all that you do.
I appreciate it. And thank you for what you do too.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.